SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the Prince, the Boss, the Hustlers, the People, the Bust, them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it here in the late night hours. Ben Kercheval is going to step up and in and join us. We're far from done. We've got some college football win total talk to get to. I'm just seeing the highlights right now of Canada and Ireland. I tweeted about this. It was like, you know, 7:30 in the morning at the time, whatever, depending on wherever the hell you were. For me, it was like 5 a.m., and I didn't know what to do. I was foolish to think I was going to go to sleep before the game, right? Like, I never go to, I got fired up, and the problem was they had a damn pregame show on for like the 2 hours before. So they did a very good job. It was very in-depth, and it had player features, and plus I kept clicking and betting on it, and I was like, you know, I actually fooled myself, and I did the old PVR. I was like, you know, I realized, I was like, I don't have to watch this live at 5 a.m. I can wake up at like 8 or 9 or something without looking online and just watch it, but I hate doing that. I just get impatient, and you know, I'm going to find out, said somehow, like, even without looking, I'm going to know what happens. Like, so, but I tweeted out before the game. It was unbelievable. These Irish girls were all business, man. Like, they were like a bunch of little Conor McGregors. Like, none of them, like, you know, in the tunnel before the game, none of them smiled at all. Like, the McCabe girl, she's a killer. She's the one that scored on the corner. She plays for Arsenal, the women's Arsenal team. And great player. Great little player. She's like a short little, like, you know, stick a die. Like, this girl's explosive. And she's like, she wears her heart on her sleeve, man. You can see, like, they were in tears, the Irish girls, after. But I get it. They're so proud and all that. But it was just funny before the game. And you know, they showed, like, the introductions on the screen. And every Irish girl, I was like, are these MMA fighters or are they soccer players? Right? You know, like, they all had, like, mean mug for the camera, and they all did the same pose with their arms crossed. And so I see that. I'm like, man, these girls are, like, rough. And then they were showing highlights of the Ireland game that I saw live, but they were recapping it again. And I was like, damn, man, you know, all those hard tackles. And they were talking about how, like, physical Ireland is. So then they show them. Then they're, like, it's almost like the UFC walkthrough, right? So then they're both standing there, you know, before they come out with the kids in the tunnel right beside each other. And the girls on Ireland are, like, frothing at the mouth. They all look like they want to, they're ready for a fight. And I look over, and I see the girls on Canada. Like, a couple of them are fixing their hair. You know, a couple of them are fixing their hair. A couple of others were joking around with the kids. A couple of them just sort of look nervous. And I was like, man, this is not going to be, you know, this is going to be tougher than I thought. You know, I knew it was going to be tough, but and then right away, they kept talking about McCabe. I was like, how good can this girl really be anyways? And then, boom, she scored on that that corner kick. But Canada showed a hell of a lot of heart in the second half. They woke up, boom, right? They woke up, and it was brought up, too. I even said it. I wasn't one of the mass people. Like, Canadian sports fans are kind of douchebags. Like, if the team does well, they'll all jump on a bandwagon. If they don't, really suck, right? And it's like, you're not even a real fan anyways. I was one of the few people, if you remember, Matthias, I said, I don't know what all the negativity is about a tie. Right? USA just tied tonight. It's a tough tournament, man. You're not going to win every game. Level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Countdown to kickoff is on, and I'm not talking about the Women's World Cup. I'm not talking about the CFL. I'm talking about the NFL preseason and, of course, college football. The NFL preseason starts. It's officially a week away, right? It's Thursday night right now. For those of you on the East Coast tuning in, it's Thursday night. Midwest, it's Thursday night. It'll be Thursday night, soon. Next week, Thursday night, we got football. So we're officially going to be a week away. And, you know, every marathon, every journey begins with the first steps. And it's part of the process, and I'm always a fan of that process. Normally it was Al Michaels. So who's it now? Tarico? I don't know. Who the hell does the games now? You know, they ran Michaels over to Amazon for all that money. Well, he ran there for the money, too. But it's part of it. You know, it's like, yeah, this game boy is boring. It sucks. It's stupid. Everybody gets all really fired up for the first, like, the general public gets all really fired up for the first preseason game. Hey, football's back. And then after the second drive, it's terrible. And then everybody just stops watching. But then, you know, it has to begin somewhere. This is like the christening. You're cracking the bottle on the ship, right? So the NFL football campaign is set to begin. The preseason is set to begin. Let's do this thing. The money is has been given to Justin Herbert. And we're going to be breaking down some college football talk with Ben Kirchhoff from CBS Sports. It was Big Ten Media Day today, and there's another day again tomorrow for the Big Ten media. We've been taking a look at some of the Big Ten win totals, Big 12 win totals. Ben Kirchhoff's got some Big 12 looks for us tonight. Major League Baseball trade deadline is around the corner, and you know, we had some fun talking about it, the old hot stove talk with Ohtani, but if you check the tape, what did I say time and time again? They're not going to trade Ohtani. And not only are they not trading Ohtani, the Angels just acquired Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. The Angels were buyers, not sellers. Once again, the media lied.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The quickest 100 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. Let's roll. I am Renzi. Ben Kirchhoff from CBSSports.com will join us. We'll talk some college football. And speaking of which, I wanted to talk about the baseball trades that happened tonight. But as long as we're on college football, my bad. I didn't spend much time on the whole San Diego State and leaving the Mountain West type of stuff. The thing is, it just gets exhausting and annoying. And at this point, does it really even matter anymore what conference anybody is in? They have destroyed everything about, you know, it's funny. They're concerned about NIL deals, like, oh, the sky is falling. But at the same point in time, they're making billions of dollars. They still don't pay the players. And that's something, too, that, like, I know, like I said earlier, like, about kidding about people being dumb, but we really are. And me too. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. Like, we're just stupid people, and we get distracted by low-hanging fruit. And you notice now, like, the NCAA, they did a very good job about that. Remember, the whole point originally was, no, you, the schools, and the NCAA should be paying these players. They are so good, they weaseled out of it and said, well, let's just let them let other people pay. And so, fine. So you weaseled out of that. You're still keeping all the money. Like, people, oh, now players get paid. Not by the school, they don't. The school, and not by the deans, they're still making all the money, right? And now they're bitching, well, let's regulate, you know, this. And now, you see what I mean? They moved the goalposts, and now there's a new argument in a new court case about the NIL stuff. And now you're not arguing about the fact that you guys never actually paid in the first place. Like, other than us betting on it, this is the biggest, they're the biggest scumbags in America, besides the actual scumbags they want to approve this crap, right? So now Colorado are the latest ones. And no offense to Colorado, but, you know, and I'll ask the Big 12, what do you want Colorado for anyways? I get it, they used to be there, okay. Well, so was Nebraska. Why don't you bring them, you know what I mean? So what, like, I don't really understand what Colorado brings to the table to the Big 12. They suck at they're average at basketball and football, whatever. What, they hired Deion Sanders? Does anyone really think that Deion Sanders is going to be there longer than what? What's the over-under? The over-under of the time he's going to be there should be the over-under of their win total this year. Was it 3.5, 4? He won't be there 4 years. That's long. I'm not going to say he's going to listen. This year, he's not going to bolt after 1 year. He's going to have to get good. That's the whole thing. So how long does it take them to build this thing up there? 3 years? I guess four is probably a fair deal here. I'll say he's going to be the Buffalo coach for 3 years. Maybe four. Like, either way, it doesn't end well for Colorado in a way. And it's funny because, listen, a lot of people are talking about Dion that shouldn't be, that have no, like, whatever, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Why is the coach Oklahoma complaining about what Dion's doing in the transfer portal? Or the coach at Pitt? Like, you know what I mean? It's you got nothing to do with you. Mind your own, you know, worry about your own stuff instead of what Dion's doing. But Dion got upset about a story in which one coach said, an unnamed, that's another thing too, you know, put your name on it, but the old unnamed coach. So it was like big time unnamed Pac-12 coach said basically the same thing that I'm saying and I've always known. And he said, you know, it won't end well for Colorado. He said either this thing implodes and they're not going to be any good and all the hype is going to backfire, and or they will be good. And then he said, and I think they will be. And he said, I think they actually will be good in a couple of years. But then he said, then Dion's just going to leave. All right. So I don't know. Maybe they can sustain it after Dion leaves if he builds it up. There's no way in hell Dion Sanders' dream job is the Colorado Buffaloes. Let's just be real. And I'm not saying this to, like, oh, he's using them or anything. No. I mean, they're lucky to have him. Point blank. The Colorado Buffaloes have been an irrelevant program since, you know, the old, you know, Charles Johnson days and Eric Bieniemy and stuff, right? When Bieniemy was a player, you know, I was there. You know, Westbrook and, you know, Cordell Stewart. Colorado football used to be big time. So I understand that, you know, that they could come back, so to speak, but it's just interesting the Big 12. So long story short here, Colorado wants out of the Pac-12 now. Everybody wants out of the Pac-12. And, you know, the Pac-12, you guys are like the biggest incompetent, useless tool bags in the history of sports administration. How the hell do you F this up? How do you screw up a conference that has the USC Trojans, the UCLA Bruins, Arizona Wildcats, the Ducks, the Huskies? This thing should have been a gold mine. Larry Scott was the beginning of the end of this thing. He was a horrible commissioner, and ever since then, they've been not a step behind, but 10 steps behind everybody. And I don't blame these teams for wanting out of the Pac-12. They see there will be no Pac-12, right? You notice how like all these other conferences are proactive. You know what I mean? Like the SEC started it first. Let's just steal Texas and Oklahoma, right? Okay, that wasn't too crazy, really. Texas, you know, where should they really be? And, you know, okay, fine. And then the Big Ten was the ones that really shook things up. They really shook things up by saying, hey, let's go with, you know, UCLA and USC. And then after that, what happened? The Big 12 were the ones that were actually, the Big 12 was a well-run conference. So the Big 12 actually didn't wait. You know, they're not like, oh, let's wait and get poached again. We already just lost two teams. Let's start bringing in other teams. Let's start thinking about teams that are good at basketball as well and then build this sort of regional powerhouse. So basically, the Pac-12 has been useless, and everyone's going to end up leaving because there's going to be nothing left. Like, seriously, I don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, if you're the Pac-12, that San Diego State thing fell through. Because San Diego State would have went, but they needed a guarantee about how much money they were going to make out of this to actually screw the Mountain West over, right? And the Pac-12 can't guarantee anything to anybody. So as time goes on, you notice they never, you know, they don't have their house in order, man, this conference. And it's too bad because they're a great football conference this year. And, but they don't have their house in order. Like, I'm telling you right now, man, like, the Washington Huskies would leave for the Big Ten in a freaking heartbeat. Like, they're like the girl waiting for the call, the guy waiting for the girl to call right now by the phone. I'm actually surprised that the Big Ten did not want them. But it all comes down to television markets, and reportedly the Big Ten just doesn't care about Seattle, point blank. And that's the same reason why, like, I'm shocked, too. Why would you take UCLA and not Washington? And why wouldn't you just bring the Ducks in? They're a high power, like high profile. The Big Ten doesn't care about going to Oregon. It's not big enough. Like, they don't care about the TV market. Like, this stuff's all about markets and stuff. So that's what I'm talking about with the Colorado Buffaloes. The thing I get about the Buffaloes, number one, why this does make sense, though, why the Buffaloes would want out of the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 was falling apart. And number two, they were here before, right? They were here in the early days, right? So I'm not criticizing for it. It's just too bad to see everything falling apart, and it's hard to keep up with all this crap. So for the record, the Big 12 reportedly is not done. And we'll get into this with Ben Kirchhoff a little bit. So if you just for, you know, it's hard to keep up with all this stuff. So pardon me if you already know, but if you do, you're probably, you're hardcore, so not everyone's going to know this stuff. But BYU's in a Big 12 now. The Houston Cougars are in a Big 12 now. The Cincinnati Bearcats are in a Big 12 now. Central Florida are in the Big 12 now. That, so they brought in those four teams to replace losing powerhouses. And but you know, some of these teams are good at basketball too, right? So they fill that void. And you know, you're not going to replace Texas and Oklahoma easily. What I don't understand is supposedly Arizona wants in on in the Big 12. That the Arizona Wildcats would go to the Big 12 if they got an invite, but there are various reports that the Big 12's not interested, which I don't understand that. I don't understand anything.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner. And I know the winner. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line. Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of Miami versus
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
The Wicked Wednesday. This is Portridge. All this college talk, my head is spinning. I want to get to some soccer talk, some soccer overnight. We got more Women's World Cup. It's relentless. It doesn't stop. But as far as all this college, you know, whatever, man. Just scrap all the freaking conferences. It's pretty clear. You don't care. You're making so-called student athletes fly around 3,000 miles for games. And, like, what about basketball? Like, the football is bad, but what about basketball? It's ridiculous. You know, like, and, you know, there's no geographical reason for anything anymore. Kids and students are supposed to be able to travel to the games. Hey, let's go to our rival's game. We are our rival's 3,000 miles away. So now this is a new thing. So college football, to go to a game, you're going to need thousands of dollars. It's going to be like F1. Oh, I'm a Michigan fan. Oh, I got to fly to, yeah, better fly out to the Rose Bowl to see the game. 3,000 miles. That's our new rival. You know, they don't care. They don't care about the kids. They don't care about the fans. They don't care about anything. All they care about is making more money. The only thing is, too, they're so stupid and greedy. They all think this is good until they're going to lose games all the time. And everybody's going to lose more games now. Right, like Oklahoma gets pissed off when they go 11-1 in the Big 12. Well, what do you think you're going to do in the SEC? And I like Oklahoma football, but let's be real, right? So I guess welcome to 8-4, kid. Right, I hope the fan base enjoys 8-4. That's why, like, Lincoln Riley didn't want to go to the Big Ten. Lincoln Riley is telling the behind the scenes, "What are you nuts? We have a good thing here. We can own the, you know, why break up the Pac-12? We can run this thing." Just run it properly. But, you know, that's what I started. They're so effing incompetent, the Pac-12, I can't even blame these schools. At first, I thought it was kind of treasonous. I can't blame them. Like, the Pac-12, I mean, hell, I could, you know, I have a better TV contract deal than they do. Like, what's their TV contract? What's your future contract? What's your future expansion plans? You know what I mean? Like, all these other conferences, look at the Big 12. The Big 12's hustling. right? They're hustling. They're like, all right, go. Texas, Oklahoma, fine. We're not shutting down because you're leaving. And in fact, we just signed a deal with BYU. Oh, we just brought in the Houston Cougars, who are a perennial Final Four basketball team. Cincinnati Bearcats, good at football and basketball. We just brought in Central Florida, you know, the largest alumni fan base in the state of Florida. And we got the state of Florida in our league now. Right, like, and they're not stopping. Now they're going to bring the Colorado Buffaloes, kick it old school. Now you got Dion coming in. And word is, so I just talked about the supposedly them not being, you know, there was thought about Arizona. If I'm Oregon, that's what I would be doing now. If I was the Ducks, I'd be saying, you know what, I'd be calling the Big 12, and I'd say, we're good at basketball, we're good at football, we're a perfect fit for you guys. They are, right? I don't think they're not getting an invite to the Big Ten. Like, this thing is called for, it's all falling apart. But just for the record, there are reports now as we're talking about this Colorado stuff. In the same report, it says that there are grumblings about Gonzaga. And I've heard that it's not even, that's not really anything new, because I remember I talked about this at Christmas time or whatnot. The Big 12 guy didn't even hide it. He met with, like, the Gonzaga athletic director, Mark Few. And the thought process was, listen, Mark Few can't be there forever. And, you know, it's there's changing times now. And it's sort of like Clemson. Like, Clemson's dominating in the ACC. Clemson, there's not enough money in the ACC. That's the problem. Like, you're not getting enough money from your television contract. So how the hell can a Clemson keep up with a Michigan or Ohio State if Michigan and Ohio State are getting raising and bringing in like $330 million a year to run their football team, and Clemson are bringing in $110 million, right? $110 million is still really good. You can build great facilities, and you can really do a lot of things with it, but they have four times as much as you do. And money, you know, it's just the way it is, man. NIL deals, nicer stadiums, nicer plane rides, nicer charter, nicer dressing rooms, nicer facilities, right? Like, you can't compete with this stuff. That's why Alabama's even panicking right now. It's funny how, like, somebody, you know, oh, Saban suddenly. You had no problem, Nick, right, for the last 10 years, or 20 years the way things were going, bro. Suddenly, because you're not the power, because USC have more money than you. Point blank. Right, that's what like these other people are flipping out. You notice suddenly it's the SEC guys that are suddenly want like sanity and Congress to step in. Yeah, because you guys are you see your power slipping away. Alabama's power is slipping away, and you know why their power is slipping away? Not because Saban can't coach, not because their kids can't play football, because they don't have as much money as other states do. Alabama is one of the poorest states in America, point blank. Where's it rank? I don't know, like, you know, 49th, you know, Mississippi is, you know what I mean, the worst probably. Like, so Alabama doesn't have any money. All right. So where's this money coming from? How many boosters are there? So, like, how much money can the local car dealer really give the football program? Before, it worked. Yeah, I'll give a free car to the kid, and I will hire him, and he doesn't really have to show up, and I'll pay him $1,000 a week. Clemson and these teams could operate in that world. They can't operate in that world anymore. Like, the USC Trojans are probably spending, you know, everyone talked about Texas A&M. How much money is Caleb Williams making this year? $2 million? $3 million? I think it's $3 million. I mean, some of these kids in college are making more money than guys in the NFL are. Point, like, more money than guys in the NFL are. Like, more than the rookie deal is. That's why Angel Reese didn't go to the WNBA. She's making more money at LSU with the deals. Right? So, like, you know, Brent Beard, who's our SEC guy, said, he goes, Gabe, Alabama's freaking out because it's the same thing. They don't have enough money. And it's not like Alabama's program is poor, but compared to other schools, they can't raise the money. The state of California is bigger and richer than Alabama is. The USC alum are richer. You know, they paid the Addison kid like $1 million to leave Pitt. You can't compete with that stuff. So that's why these other teams realize we're screwed. So we don't have a choice but to join these conferences because we need to get the money for the TV deal. Otherwise, no one's going to play for us in a few years. Gonzaga, so that was the whole thing. So Mark Few, basically, like, he wants to set Gonzaga up and not just have them in the West Coast Conference when he retires. So they're set up for the future. So I would imagine Gonzaga, it will end up in the Big 12, and it doesn't matter they don't play football. Who cares? You put them into basketball. The Big 12's doing a nice job. You know who's really, you know, a sitting duck is the ACC. If you look, like, the Big Ten has become a, you know what I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC are battling for supremacy. And on the field, the SEC has it, but the Big Ten is right there. And business-wise, the Big Ten just overtook the SEC as far as, like, an overall, like, monetary beast type of thing. So the SEC is a little bit of a panic. And the whole thing was, too, with the SEC, which they kind of got blindsided by the Big Ten. And give credit to Kevin Warren, who got ripped all the time, but bringing in Texas and Oklahoma doesn't move any needle for the SEC. What does it change for the SEC? Texas can't even win in the Big 12. Oklahoma, how big of a television market? I get it. And I love Sooner Lisa, and I have a Sooner helmet here. I love them. Problem is, how big is Norman, Oklahoma? Like, does the television market move any needle? No. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, you brought in Oklahoma, you brought in Texas. So, yeah, Texas is popular. Thing is, you were already popular. So the SEC bringing in Oklahoma and Texas really didn't change anything. Like, as far as, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you have this. The Big Ten have the freaking USC Trojans and UCLA Bruins now. The Big Ten's playing games in a Rose Bowl now in Los Angeles. The Big Ten's going to have games on starting at 12 noon Eastern on the East Coast with your Purdue-Rutgers game. And then all the way through to the end of the night with the California game until 1-2 in the morning, right? Like, they're going to own television. Like, the SEC sees this, and they're like, oh, my God. We're just a little regional thing in the South that doesn't even have any money. Like, you know? Our markets, our fans, like, good for you. Mississippi State, I've been there. They don't have any money. Right, man, Mississippi, like, you go down the list, there are all these little small places. We can pretend about your pageantry and a tradition and crap. Good for you. You have nowhere near as much money as Penn State does. Right, so we're in an era of money right now, and you can't, yeah, this is where it is, but let's just call it. It's not college anymore. This isn't college. Stetson Bennett was the quarterback. Stetson Bennett, Georgia Bulldog quarterback, got drafted by the Rams, and we told you to take him in the draft, and we won the bet. Stetson Bennett went to Georgia for 6 years, didn't graduate. That's pretty hard to do, actually. Because I guarantee he wasn't taking biomolecular science or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Kirby Smart doesn't care. Like, that's the whole thing with Georgia. I have a hard time respecting them. Yeah, you're good. You also have 11, you know, female abuse or sexual assault allegations. You got an Atlanta Journal-Constitution guy fired the other day because he reported on it. You guys killed someone driving recklessly. You've had, like, we can go on. They're turning into the Florida Gators. And then on top of that, you notice no one cares. Like, in the old days, people would say, oh, my God, their quarterback went there for 6 years and didn't graduate. How is that possible? Now it's like, whatever. You think the wind tunnel will go over. So why should I care? Nobody else does. Screw you all. Let's all be evil, steal, purge. Ben Kirchival next.
The gates of hell are open wide.
It's smarter to...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio Network's countdown to kickoff continues. Let's bring in Ben Kirchival right now from CBSSports.com. Big Ten Media Days going down in Indianapolis. Ben's been breaking down the win totals in the Big 12. A lot of stuff to get to. Ben, always a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, no problem.
So, Ben, Big Ten media days. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Northwestern. Now, earlier in the week, we find out about Coach Harbaugh facing a four-game suspension. But I want to focus more on the teams on the field and how they're going to do this year. And there's a lot of talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes. And we know about their offense and their offensive struggles in the past. And it's never good when your punter is arguably the best player on your football team. But this is a football team that manages to win eight games with a pedestrian offense. Now you bring in Cade McNamara. It's hard not to believe that this is going to be a much improved offense and a pretty good Iowa football team that avoids Ohio State and Michigan on their schedule.
So there are a couple things at hand with Iowa. I mean, the first is the elephant in the room, in that if Kirk Ferentz's son wasn't the offensive coordinator, there's no way that person would be retained. I mean, like you said, Iowa's winning 8 games a year on defensive special teams. They literally beat, you know, South Dakota State at like the start of the year in this like all-out defensive thing. They can do it. Their offense doesn't need to be that much better. And so when I look at what they're bringing back, you mentioned Cade McNamara. They also get all the tight end from Michigan too. To me, those transfer portal additions are probably more indicative of what Iowa's offense can be, which is maybe not just downright terrible, but passable. And if it's passable, 8 wins a year probably turns into what, 9 or 10? You know, I mean, this year, I mean, they're not that far away because their defense is so great. It's just that their offense has been so terrible under Brian Ferentz. And I don't know if he'll get that 25 points a game that he's supposed to, that threshold he's got to reach this year.
That's the strangest thing ever. That's the strangest thing ever, isn't it, Ben, to, like, tell someone you need to get to this number? So, and I get it. You know, it's like you said.
I think it's just the team. I don't even think it's the offense.
Yeah, well, that's what's just – so, but I'm just saying, exactly. You would call plays if your job's on the line. I'd be like, well, whatever. I don't know. I got to get to this number, so I don't care if we win. You know what I'm saying? But I know that's not what they're thinking. But to put in context, Iowa's offense was ranked 129th in total yards per game, 122nd in scoring, 128th in third down conversions. Absolute brutality. It's a miracle they've won as many games as they have.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is they're actually not that far off from being a really good team if the offense improves even just a little bit. So the fact that they brought in those two players from Michigan, I think, is a good sign. It's just, again, it's going to be about Brian Ferentz. How does the offense do? I don't even know. I don't even think he was asked about it today, at least not in, like, the pool area with reporters. I don't even think Ferentz was asked about it. That was insane to me.
Something interesting Ben brought up, they got Eric All, former Michigan Wolverine tight end, who's a good player, you know, sort of a hybrid, speedy, modern tight end, kind of looks like a wide receiver, but he's got speed. He made some big plays, specifically in that Penn State game, I believe it was, stepped up with a, it was the Penn State game, Michigan and Penn State, big time catch. So he's got that relationship with Cade McNamara, and I am a Michigan fan, Ben, so I know all about Cade McNamara. And look, people don't talk about Cade, and he's sort of forgotten about, and J.J. McCarthy came in and took things over. Harbaugh's in love with McCarthy, but let's not forget. I mean, we're talking about a Cade McNamara, that very similar situation, very good defense, managed an offense to the college football playoffs with the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, Cade McNamara is perfectly good for Iowa. He is perfectly fine for what they want to do, and that's why I say, like, you get – okay, Cade McNamara, if he goes out and he plays, you know, halfway decent, he's the best quarterback there since who? I mean, it's given what they have with that defense, he does not have to do very much. Just do enough. And I think he's more than capable of doing that.
Man, you said since who? I was thinking, I'm like, well, not Ricky Stanzi. You know, that Tate dude was pretty good. Remember Drew Tate? He was pretty good.
Iowa,
but right. It's been a while, as you stated, when you think about Iowa. And you know what's crazy? They have awesome tight ends there, bro. It's tight end you now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just do enough. You know, having a great tight end is...
I think they will. Listen, their win total, Ben, was 7.5, but it was like minus 160 type thing, and everyone steamed it. It's minus 200 now. So now you're going to have to, you know, bet over 8 type of deal.
Right.
Which I can live with. Which I can live with. Let me ask you, how do you think, before we get to the Big 12, how do you think the Big 10 plays out in the bigger picture? Are Michigan the team to beat, which I think personally they are? That, you know, listen, they're hosting Ohio State, so that's number one. They've beaten Ohio State the last 2 years. We could argue that this is Harbaugh's best team. It's not going to be there for the first 4 games, okay? But what's you know, I was talking with somebody the other night. They said keep your eye on Penn State this year. Penn State hasn't beaten Ohio State since 2016. They keep getting beat up by Michigan as well. who do you like in a Big Ten this year to be the team to beat?
So, I like Michigan. I'm not going to necessarily go away from the grain on that one. That being said, you mentioned Penn State, and this was like put this on my tombstone Hall of Fame with going all in on Penn State.
But that's like the Chargers, Ben, in the NFL, right? Yeah, Penn State and the Chargers every year. Everybody's this is the year.
This year, you got me once, Penn State. Don't get me twice. No, it's going to look at Drew Aller. And James Franklin said today, well, it's still a quarterback competition. Okay. My expectation is that Drew Aller will be the starter within short time as preseason camp begins. If Aller is the person that they think, he can be, then could Penn State nip Ohio State this year? Maybe. Athletically, I think they're not too far behind the Buckeyes. Could they nip Michigan? Yeah. They're in a position to do it. But, that combination of, Michigan, Ohio State, it's just such an unknown for the Buckeyes at quarterback. You think it's probably going to be Kyle McCord, but, we'll see. He's got incredible receivers. I mean, those are your teams. Those are your teams right there. Probably 1, 2, 3, but, the order could switch.
Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com, kicking with us. I am Gabe Morenci, Sirius XM, Channel 159. So the Big Ten will be welcoming USC and UCLA. Just quickly on that, actually, Ben, what's your take on that with these California teams going to be in the Big Ten next year?
I don't like any of this. This is all very well documented on my end. Anytime this kind of
this
stuff
is
happens.
Really stupid, though, isn't it? Like they're 3,000 miles apart, bro.
It's not stupid. It's not good for the well-being of the student athletes in terms of athletes. Call them
yes, yes. It's smart from a business perspective. You're right, but I get what you mean.
It's smart, but if I'm like, oh boy, I get to go to Piscataway, New Jersey this
year. Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. No thanks. I don't love it because up until 20 years ago, college football was a hyper-regional sport. And the nationalization of the sport is such that, you're going to have this. And I don't love it, but it's the reality that we live in, and so I deal with it.
And Oklahoma and Texas, of course, are in their final seasons in the Big 12. Oklahoma Sooner win total is 9.5. I sort of want to buy in on this football team, but I have my inner voice wonders about Dillon Gabriel and whether, it's a big jump from last year to this year. Venables is talking about a grace period and all that type of stuff. And you got the Texas Longhorns with Quinn Ewers. They get Alabama early in the season. They're also at 9.5. When you guys did the podcast and you were looking at Big 12 win totals, what caught your eye? What team caught your eye the most, Ben?
I mean, you mentioned Oklahoma because that number is interesting because there was a time not all that long ago when Oklahoma was, I don't know if I would ever say head and shoulders above every other team in the Big 12, but there was an echelon difference. Now I don't know that that exists. You mentioned Dillon Gabriel, and yeah, his injury issues are a concern. I watched that game at West Virginia last year, and West Virginia is like the worst team in the conference, and they might be again this year. And, it was bad weather. It was, a classic letdown situation. But I was like, man, Oklahoma can't even get up for that. And I just kind of wonder if that's a Venables thing. Maybe not, But I think the talent is capable of winning 9-ish or so games or being in contention for a Big 12 championship game. But I just don't know that extra edge is there anymore. I don't know that you can sit here today and say they're definitively better as a program than Kansas State or TCU or any one of these other programs that can pop up and have a year. So I get the win total. I might even take the under on that. But that's what's interesting to me is the dichotomy between the talent that Oklahoma has to get to that level and maybe where they actually are in the Big 12 pecking order.
And we have new teams, of course, in the Big 12. They're losing Texas and Oklahoma, but BYU enters, Cincinnati enters, Houston Cougars, Central Florida. And we got a couple of minutes left here, so I'll throw these teams at you. The odds makers are expecting all these teams to struggle. BYU's win total is 4.5 right now, although shaded to the over. Cincinnati Bearcats. Win total is 5.5, shaded to the under. Houston Cougars, also 4.5. I mean, hell, Houston were like 10, 9.5 last year, whatever it was. And then you look at the Central Florida's win total is 6.5. So odds makers are expecting these teams to struggle. What's your take on these new teams coming into the Big 12 and their win totals?
Well, sometimes when you're coming up a level, the immediate depth that you have, now the transfer portal now can alleviate some of the stuff that you might have struggled with in the past. Like when TCU first joined the Big 12, they were like, they really struggled, and then Gary Patterson changed his philosophy.
But they were coming from the Mountain West, a little bit different, right?
Mountain West was a strong group of five conference. My point is to have the players, the depth of players at that level right away is still difficult. It's just a little bit easier now because of the transfer portal. UCF probably has the roster most capable of making that transition. But early struggles in a new conference, unless you're like really going lateral, or you have like this like really stacked roster, it's to be expected. And the Big 12 top to bottom is among the deepest, if not the deepest, major college football conference.
Now, you just said, we got about a minute left here, but you know, just so you just said, I agree with you when you said, you know, Oklahoma is not head and shoulders above everybody. Like, you know, they're going to be competitive games. Is it that big of a jump for a BYU who's been playing a pretty murderous independent schedule over the years? Is this that much of a massive jump for the Houston Cougars? And I guess depth is where it hits, right? Their first 20 players will be fine, but I guess that's when we get a little bit deeper.
I mean, you're starting 22 can be, you know, ready to step into the Big 12 right away. And I'm sure for a lot of those teams, you're starting 22 is at that level, or at least to the level where you can win some games. But over the course of the season, I mean, you know, what happens if, like, you know, Houston starts like 5-0, 6-0, and he's like November and December, and, you know, maybe collapses a little bit late. I have some questions about the Cougars this year in terms of, you know, are they going to do it with Donovan Smith quarterback? So, you know, it's John Reese Plumlee, great quarterback for UCF, but, you know, his passing's not all there. So, you know, over the course of the season, does that kind of stuff get figured out? Or you get hurt? I mean, there's a lot that goes into that.
Hey, it's great to have college football back, Ben. Great stuff as always. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with Ben Kirchable, CBSSports.com. Thanks, Ben.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, time to get back on track here. No rest for the weary. Matthias said earlier, pretty soft, Matthias, I gotta admit. Did you tell me earlier you're tapping out? No more Women's World Cup for you? You're out? You're out after? Are you still crying about your card bet from last night?
No. You know what, Gabe? To tell you the truth, I'm taking the Vietnam game off, but I'm going hard with the tennis. I'm going hard with the tennis, and I'm going hard with Jiri Leheka in Hamburg, Gabe. That's what I'm doing.
All right.
For it.
Okay, so as we stated, we knew he'd be betting on some tennis. We got Portugal and Vietnam coming up here in half an hour. Vietnam lost 3-0 to the United States. Portugal are pretty good, right? They're not like, I don't think they're going to win the tournament or like good type thing, but they're no joke. They're good. Portugal's going to win this game. Let's play a same game parlay here. Let's go, you know what? Both teams to score, no. Vietnam's not going to score on Portugal. And let's go Portugal to win. Portugal to win. Clean sheet is minus 188. And here's another one here. Let's play two of them. Let's play Portugal to win, and let's play the under. But let's add some goals to this alternate type thing. Under 4.5. Portugal to win and under 4.5 is minus 120. I like this first one better that I talked about, even though it was minus 188. Portugal to win to a clean sheet in this game. So this game coming up in about a half hour's time. We've done really well. This is where we've killed it. And it's frustrating because I go to bed, like, winning. I'm like, man, I just won $1,700 at, like, 3 in the morning. And then, I don't know. A couple of crossbars later, and I'm in the dumps. Australia comes up at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific. They're going to beat Nigeria. Lay the 188 with the Australians. Other than that, you're on your own. Follow me on Twitter, @SportsRage. Later.